16.
Yes, second.
Yeah.
Patricia.
The committee will be convened by DNR staff to only include qualified experts. I further move that items that are not near a resolution and may need either more science or rulemaking would be brought back to the board at the February 2016 board meeting as a proposal initiation with a recommendation from the AMPA.
I'm sorry, we should spell
yeah,
that
we will.
To
yeah.
The
management program administrator. I finally move that the DNR report back to the board for review at the November 2016 meeting.
I mean, you're okay to, that's a friendly amendment. Thank you.
I think it's a point of clarification.
I believe it should say was a recommendation to the AMPA. The board needs to review the proposed things to look at, and then the board remands it to the Adaptive Management Program. So at that point, it is given to the Adaptive Management Program Administrator, and he then initiates the appropriate review of the Adaptive Management Program.
Thank you.
So it's a recommendation to the Adaptive Management Program Administrator, not from.
So the board, to be clear, the board, the staff would prepare a proposal initiation. The board would review it in February. If they are satisfied with it, we would direct staff to send it to the Adaptive Management Administrator for a continuing process.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any discussions on the amendment?
So I appreciate these amendments quite a bit. Mm-hmm. They look like a very honest attempt to address everybody's issues. So thank you for that. And just for clarification on that second to the last paragraph, the idea there is that we will have some pretty intensive discussion to figure out what things go into those buckets. Right? We need additional work to figure out what the disagreement is over what goes in the board manual, what goes in the rule. So this isn't just going to be our staff going off by themselves and saying, this is what we think we need. We're going to have some discussion amongst relevant parties to try to help figure out what's in that second to last paragraph.
I'm not sure what you're suggesting, because I think that the board staff needs to make a recommendation to the board on what should go into adaptive management.
Mm-hmm.
Are you suggesting some other process?
Well, as I noted, to kick off the discussion on this whole thing, there is a chasm of difference of opinion on some of those items. And there's a chasm of difference of opinion, I think, between the Conservation Caucus and DNR staff on some of those items. And so I am somewhat concerned that if DNR staff just goes off on their own to come up with a recommendation without some attempt at bridging the gap in difference in perception, that we're just going to be right back where we were in February. So I just wanted to acknowledge and request that there is some effort to however that looks. And I don't think this is necessarily formal, but I just want to acknowledge the fact that there needs to be some discussion to try to figure out what's on either side of that line.
Between DNR staff, landowners, and the Conservation Caucus?
Yeah.
An informal discussion?
Yes.
Okay. With some clear points of agreement and disagreement.
Yes.
Any other board members? Board member Thor.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. I am also appreciative of the efforts. I'm not sure. So in February, we would do a second approval, potentially, of the manual.
on those items that are agreed to today.
So we would approve the manual as it was presented today.
Yes.
And we would come back and approve a revised version in February. Correct. As well as get some recommendations as to how to deal with the tougher issues.
Correct.
And the expectation between now and February is that indeed in February we will see some additional, I mean, it's not okay to come back and say we tried, but we didn't get anywhere.
Well, that all relates to people at the table making a good faith effort.
And I agree with that.
All right. Okay. Board member Davies.
I just wonder if we need to clarify, and then first asking if the items defined as near resolution and those that are not near resolution, those are drawn from the list of seven from the Conservation Caucus, is that right?
That's my understanding.
That's.
Any other discussion from board members? Heather, do you understand where we're at?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Board member Ballard. Thank you. Okay, so we need to vote on the amended motion. Board member Storer.
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear. I'm concerned that we aren't going to have pressure on the system to do what I thought everybody described as easier fixes or clarifications, at least for a couple of those six or seven issues. It looked like we had something in reach. And I'm not sure this helps us keep it in reach. And so if you don't see me voting to the affirmative, that's why.
Mark?
I believe that, and I'm not sure if you need to add this to the motion or not, but in addressing both board members' studies and explorers' concerns, that a meeting be held very soon between DNR, the Conservation Caucus, and landowners to discuss all of the issues that were not included today in those parts of the manual which you do not have in front of you right now, and determine which one of those we can pursue within this short period of time, and then the other ones then we would begin to put together in a proposal initiation. And I hope that adds some clarity, because then everything would be discussed, everything that all of the parks that are requested for inclusion today will be on the table.
So I appreciate what Board Member Storer raised, and I appreciate your response to that. And I'm wondering if we can use the word interim one more time just to keep that pressure up. Would that address your concern?
Important.
Enough to get you to vote yes. I mean, we're in effect doing an interim anyway.
Yes.
But the word, I think the word gives some comfort that, you know, we're not done and that there's going to be a good faith effort on all parties, because there is some pressure on the system to make it a final boardman manual in February. So, would you, Board Member Stanley, entertain a friendly amendment to stick the word interim in the first paragraph?
Absolutely.
I'm a little hesitant to, mainly because we're interim to death. I liked Mark's approach with the small landowner template, where you called it.
It's a very dynamic section of which we have frequently amended over time.
And the other reason with the word interim is, I think, you know, this is a motion that's directing them to do it, but I also would think, and Stu, because I feel we should take a really hard look at it at the November meeting for other issues that would come up. So I'm, you know, essentially looking at it as a living document. So I'm hesitant to do that. Hopefully for good reasons.
Board Member Davies.
I wonder if further clarification and just adding in there, just really specifying, we're really just talking about those seven issues might help in the discussion, and then even putting some further time frame. And I also think that interim, because it really technically is interim, and I think that would help.
Martin Stanley, would you entertain a friendly amendment of in the second paragraph, move the items, and then a paren maybe in the conservation caucus letter, close paren, something like that.
I would approve that.
Conservation caucus letter of comment. I don't know which is the most appropriate.
You better put a T on
there. Yeah. November 9th. Do I have a second on that? Okay, just to check my parliamentary procedure, can we vote on the whole shebang, or are we, since we've had friendly amendments?
I think you may vote on the entire proposal.
Okay.
Unless there are further amendments that anybody wishes to make.
All right. Any further discussion or amendment suggestions? Okay, I'm going to call for a hand vote from the board. So everybody in favor of this motion, please raise your right hand.
My hand is raised.
Thank you. It's a unanimous decision. Let us move forward with that and go to the next agenda. Thank you. That was a lot of work, but I think it was worthwhile. Okay, public comment on the master project schedule, please.
Talk to you about some fine-tuning with the general fund state budget that we were fortunate enough to have approved by the legislature for this biennium. I believe you have the memo in front of you. I apologize for the tardiness in presenting it. This process that we're going through was done by consensus at CMR and the policy. It's the same approach that I reported on in the August board meeting. And it required consensus at policy, which policy's meeting was last Wednesday, so it really is kind of hot off the press, and I apologize for that. Just by way of reminding everyone, the legislature approved the $5.8 million for the biennium for the adaptive management program, and that the source of those funds are general fund state. Within the $5.8 million, $2.9 million are allocated for each of the two fiscal years within the biennium. The both the blessing and the curse is that those funds, the way I describe it to people is they turn into a pumpkin on July 1st at 12:01, and so we need to zero out our balance. We don't have the flexibility in carrying that money over. And so as a consequence of that, whenever we identify funds or projects where there are savings within the master project schedule, we need to have an alternate plan or a specific plan to use those funds within that fiscal year. And so the process that I laid out in August at the board meeting was that the SAGs, these scientific advisory groups within CMR, would identify those projects that were important and discrete enough tasks that they could be accomplished by June 30, 2015. They responded and came up with a list of projects. Those projects were reviewed by CMR. There was discussion about the readiness of those projects and the developed proposals and the ability for those things to be concluded by June 30th, and also the discussion that we had with respect to a bow wave that could be created by changing our schedule and affecting projects down the road, that they needed to be independent tasks and discrete, that they wouldn't cause this bow wave that we've discussed. And so after that process, CMR put together a list of six items, and those were presented to policy at the meeting last week. Policy approved those six items in that prioritized order for spending leftover general fund state dollars to complete. And I'm presenting the list that was decided upon by CMR, approved at both CMR and policy, for your consideration of for use of unspent general fund state within this fiscal year. And I can walk through the list real quickly. The number one item was providing CMR and stakeholders access to a scientific literature database. This is, I don't remember how many thousand journals this includes. The dates go back to 1900 through today. It's a big ticket item. It's $34,000 for that access, but the $34,000 actually purchases those items outright, and then the subscription thereafter for 3 years is only $7,500. So we get 3 years of subscription for $34,000, and then access to journals indefinitely from 2000 to the end of our subscription date. And then each additional 3 years would be a renewal. So that would be a small cost. And the real importance there is that those provide the basis of our best available science for all of our projects, including those being conducted by policy as well as CMR. And it gives access to all the participants in the adaptive management program. So it's a really important opportunity. And of course, those are now dealt with on an individual project basis. So this would be a more holistic way to address it. The second one is a wetland mapping tool. This cost is $80,000. And the goal of this project is to develop a GIS-based tool set to systematically compare and test different approaches and data types for remote sensing of forest wetlands. And the opportunity here is that the Department of Ecology, through an EPA grant, is undertaking this larger project. And it's focused primarily in the lowlands. So this add-on would be to add the forested wetlands into that larger modeling exercise. And it's really an opportunity right now that we have in order to get integrated into this larger project. And of course, that the understanding and the intent is that we would develop a contract very quickly before the end of the year with the Precision Forestry Lab at the University of Washington, and that the same group that's doing the work for ecology, and we would get that into a contract, and then we would have that part of the tool for by June 30th. The third project is an east side modeling evaluation project, and the estimated cost is $65,000 there. And this was identified as phase two of the ERAP study, and that was approved in 2008. And after going through the different elements of the ERAP study, this was something where there were some personnel changes and other things that happened, and it kind of fell through the cracks. So this is an add-on to the study that we already have. And the objective of this project is to evaluate the current riparian and stand conditions that meet the three east side objectives: riparian function within the range of historic stand conditions, and at risk for catastrophic damage due to disease or insect outbreaks. The last three items are not necessarily projects, but they're more opportunities, where one would be a personal services agreement for up to $10,000 for a technical editor that would help with different elements of our projects, to help conclude projects and help with potentially with editing the work plan, senior work plan. And that would be an up to amount, of course, and then also something similar for a statistician to have on call. And then any leftover funds that we may have as either some other potential project budgets are changed, if we have extra dollars on the table, what we propose to do is to spend those extra dollars on purchasing equipment for studies that are on the docket for next year. So the idea is if, for example, our roads BMP effectiveness study, they want to have tipping buckets for some of the measurements related to sediment. And so if we had enough money and they wanted to purchase 50 of these, if we had enough money to buy 27, we'd use the balance to get those 27, whatever that is. So we'd make that decision in April. So we would have enough time to purchase it, we'd know what we had for savings, and we could more or less balance our budget there. So those are the summary projects. The total project cost for these items, for all six items, is $199,000. And to date, we've already identified $170,000. We're only in, kind of at the end of the first quarter here. So I feel pretty confident that those six are very logical. Those five are very logically going to be to have the amount of funds that we're looking for. But then, of course, anything that was left over, if either of those service contracts didn't use the full $10,000, we didn't end up using that, then we would also roll that into purchasing equipment. So what I'm seeking today is approval from the board to initiate those projects that have been approved, and start working toward getting these things into contracts and in conclusion by the end of the fiscal year.
Hans, can you explain to the board what you're doing to help improve and make sure that Seymour stays on schedule as much as possible?
Yeah, sure can. So your call from the master project schedule and budget that we talked about, this has been a common theme that we've been discussing at every board meeting since May. There's kind of three areas where we're focusing. One is capacity, creating additional capacity at Seymour. We're taking some steps there. We're hiring another in fact, it closed, I believe, this week, a staff geologist at the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission to help with, well, unstable slopes, actually, among other things, the roads BMP effectiveness studies. That's one issue, so we have some additional capacity there, technical capacity. We're also working on accountability, and the project managers are getting involved in the day-to-day activities of projects to make sure that they can bring resources on any project that needs some help to keep it on track and on budget. So that's one of the things we're doing for accountability and really focusing on that communication and empowering project managers to really be an active part of a project team, which is something that hasn't always happened in the past. And then the last thing is just this kind of flexibility in our budget. Things like what I'm asking for right now, so we can anticipate some of these changes and these things that are going to happen, and make sure that we are in a position where we can act. One of the challenges is if we find out that we have this leftover money too late, then we don't have the ability for me, for example, to address the board and maybe, you know, initiate projects that could use the money to keep us on track. And so all three of those things are really important, and those are the three areas where we're really spending the emphasis.
So then I might add that we haven't seen invoices yet for the first quarter yet for most of our contractors. And once we see when we get to the February meeting, hopefully we'll have a better idea of our spending for the first 6 months, and haunts may return to us, depending on what that looks like. So this may not be the first time we see him on this issue. So any questions for Hans or board members?
Yeah, one. Yes. You mentioned equipment. This equipment is for the present and the future, or how long?
It would be for studies that are planned right now and in the work plan for this biennium. So things that have already been identified that are going to have equipment needs for next year. And so I guess back to the chair's point, so it's likely that I'll be returning to deal with this and how we approach the question next year. But I'm planning on coming back to this, to the board prior to the next fiscal year in order to put together some kind of a proposal from that. But yes, those are four items that are already in the work plan. They're on the master project schedule that plans for budgeting and purchasing equipment that would be used next year. But it would just be buying them a year early on this year's money.
Any other questions from board members?
I have one. Just
board member Davies?
You mentioned that you just met with policy last week and everybody was on board.
Consensus.
Yes.
Okay. Patricia?
A motion.
Yeah, we're going to move.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
I move the Forest Practices Board approve the reallocation of unspent funds to the six prioritized projects identified in Hansberg's memo dated November 9, 2015.
We have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Board Member Balish. Any discussion?
That's good.
All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Members not in favor, say nay. Any abstentions? Thank you. We've got another unanimous vote today.
Thank you.
We're on a roll here. Just took one to get us going. All right. I'm going down to the next one. Western Gray Scroll. Is that the next one?
Yes.
Okay. Mark and Terry, do you need to be up here for this as well?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board.
Yes.
The Forest Practices Board has received a petition for rulemaking for the Western Gray Squirrel. So, although we did this a number of times, I had to go dig up the memo. So I will read to you what the process is and what the obligations of the board is. So any person may submit a petition to the board requesting the adoption, amendment, or repeal of any forest practices rule. Board staff received on October 29th a petition for rulemaking for the Western Gray Squirrel. The petition requests the board to amend the critical habitat state rule for TNE species, which is found in WAC 222-16080, to reinstate the former Department of Fish and Wildlife recommended Western Gray Squirrel Management Guidelines, and I believe it's here.
They were from 1996 to protect the western gray squirrel nests and habitat. The petition requests that the board require surveys before harvest. It does not say, but it implies by the landowner, to be completed and submitted to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and to require management plans to maintain nesting areas, provide minimum canopy requirements around nest areas, and retaining connectivity among the nest areas. The board must no later than 60 days after the receipt of a complete petition, or by December 28th of this year, initiate rulemaking proceedings in accordance with Chapter 3405, that's the APA, or deny the petition in writing stating the reasons for the denial and addressing the concerns stated in the petition. Where appropriate, the board will indicate alternative means by which the board will address the concerns raised in the petition. If the board denies the petitioner may appeal the denial to the Joint Administrative Rules Review Committee, the governor, or superior court. In this case, staff, and it's a joint DNR and wildlife staff, would like to request that the board deny this petition with the knowledge that the Department of Fish and Wildlife is currently working on a priority habitat species review, which includes the western gray squirrel, and is it there? I'll let Terry say what it is.
It's the periodic status review that's currently going through the comment period.
Can you introduce yourself, please, Terry?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm Terry Jackson with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. And Department of Fish and Wildlife is now going through the periodic status review. It's been completed, but it's going through the public review process. And those comments will be due by the end of December. And at that time, in January, we'll be taking, staff will be taking the results of that status review as well as recommendations to the board, to the Fish and Wildlife Commission, excuse me. And what we were thinking pretty much as well is that not only will we have our periodic status review completed and we wanted to bring the results of that to the board in February, February is also the time that we'd be presenting our Western Gray Squirrel annual report to the board. And that would also contain another year of tracking data. May. So at that time, it would have another year of tracking data as well with a voluntary management approach. So at that time, we'd have more information that we could look at and assess where we might want to go further.
Okay. Just a second. Patricia, was there anybody signed up for public comment on this?
There was no public comment.
Oh, thank you.
John, President.
I just noticed I skipped
ahead too
fast here. Okay. So, questions for the board members regarding the petition for rulemaking?
I just want to make sure I understood. You're suggesting that in May we'll have better information for making a decision about this. Is that correct? Because of the February stuff and then stuff that will come in May.
So, to reiterate, it would be that the current data generated for the priority habitat species review as well as the...
It's actually called a periodic status review. It's not PHS. And this is in response to a rule petition we had, and I don't remember the date, ourselves for uplisting the Western Gray Squirrel. And so...
Getting the Fish and Wildlife Commission?
Yes. It came to us, and so we initiated this periodic status review of the Western Gray Squirrel.
Okay.
Plus the board has requested every May for a joint report from DNR and Department of Fish and Wildlife regarding the implementation of the voluntary management plans regarding the Western Gray Squirrel. So you have three pieces of information from which to make a decision.
Okay. Patricia, you got a motion? Any other questions from board members? Or statements? Comments? Who would like to move this one?
Joe.
I will. Thank you, Joe. Or board member Storr.
So I move that the Forest Practices Board deny the rule petition pertaining to the Western Gray Squirrel at this time. I further move the board revisit the status and possible next steps for protection of the Western Gray Squirrel at their May 2016 meeting, when the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's periodic status review will be final and the Western Gray Squirrel annual report to the board will be presented.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Board Member Little, second. Any discussion? All those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 Any, if there are any, anybody against the motion, say nay. Any abstentions? And a unanimous vote on that. Thank you. Mark? Let's see if we got it. Thank you. Patricia. I have one person signed up for a public comment on the board's 2016 work plan.
I guess I'm it.
Yes. Ken, sorry, I didn't call your name.
Good afternoon, Chairman.
I was thinking you should read my mind.
Well, I do sometimes. Again, I'm still Ken Miller, a persistent advocate for the alternate harvest prescriptions for forest and fish required to be available for small forest landowners. You have accepted our Westside template proposal for review by the Adaptive Management Program. Thanks again for that. Elaine O'Neill has given you an update on our plans for bringing an Eastside draft template to you next year for similar action, we hope. You just had a field tour that helped you visualize some of the stream typing issues. We respectfully invite you to have a similar visit to help you better visualize the issues around alternate harvest prescriptions for smalls that, in my opinion, predate the stream typing issues. Our tree farm adjacent to North Sylvania State Park here in Olympia is able to handle a similar sized indoor background discussion at any time of the year. You won't have to do anything other than show up and accept traditional small landowner hospitality. We've flagged out a variety of easily viewed existing buffer examples alongside our proposed west side template buffers. The hope is this field visit will help the board members readily visualize our proposals compared to existing rules. As you did at last month's field trip, I'm confident that we can work with staff so we stick to the facts and avoid getting into any scientific debates on unresolved issues that we presume will be addressed within the adaptive management processes. I very much believe it's very important to all stakeholders and the future of forests and fish that we keep moving forward on these old commitments. I remind some of our newer board members that several Washington Farm Forestry Association leaders dragged very reluctant and very angry small forest landowners to the forest and fish table, ultimately helping negotiate its final passage, along with the subsequent habitat conservation plan. Many landowners dropped their memberships and felt betrayed by our leaders. But our leaders prevailed because it was the right thing to do, something I still believe even after 15 years of effort. Since these historic negotiations were finalized in Forest and Fish, we've lost several of these leaders and my mentors, Jan Nornberg, Nils Hansen, Steve Stinson, and just recently, as the chair pointed out, Sherry Fox. They all passed, wrongly believing they let the small forest landowner community down. So with respect, I ask that you please do add to your 2016 work plan a field visit to the same tree farm where our Forest and Fish HCP was signed by the governor and the federal services. Thank you very much.
Chair Brack, I'm sorry, I didn't sign the plan, but may I have 2 minutes, please?
On the work plan?
Yeah. Can I say something?
Sure.
Sorry, Ken, I wanted to catch you when you're up here.
Ken.
Hey, Ken. No, you don't have to come back up. I just wanted to thank you for providing written comments for each of your presentations.
Only way I can do it.
Very useful. And I also wanted to say I appreciate you coming up and talking, you know, keeping the small forest landowner issues in front of us, and I hope you've seen the budget that Forest Practices, DNR, is advocating for in the supplemental budget with a couple, two or three small forest landowner positions. Such as. Anyway, nice to see.
No, we know everybody's, everybody's mostly on the same page until we get down to the metric.
Sure, yeah. That's all. And thanks for the invite, too. I just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Yes, on the work plan. I'm not here to talk about the Seahawks. Or I just do want to say thank you for the board's deliberation over Board Manual 16 and for understanding our concerns. The one thing that got left off today was the northern spotted owl discussion. And I know that it's difficult to take off owls after landslides and folks like Court are saying, well, what's next, you know? But just a quick reminder, I just want to thank Paula Swedeen for doing some amazing work. Our caucus went to court about 8-9 years ago and had been very, very, very patient since then. We've been working with the Department of Wildlife and everybody. We've been working with federal technical committees and whatnot on basically a measured response to protecting the owls that are still out there. And we don't want to just lose them or tell them to move up the Mountaineer or Olympic. So I know that wasn't on the discussion today, but I hope that the board encourages us to come back with a measured, completely science-based plan for owls. The other thing that I think that would be a healthy discussion in the future on the board would be the discussion of whether the public safety changes to the Class 4 special rule or the rules in general governing public safety should really go into the adaptive management program. And I think that maybe the board could consider a discussion, maybe advised by policy, on is that a good idea? Should there be consideration of maybe a request legislation that removes public safety from the adaptive management process? The adaptive management process came out of the idea of a 50-year habitat conservation plan for endangered salmonids and other aquatic species. And it was the idea, everybody around this table knows more than I do, but the idea is we take a step forward and then evaluate and improve the rules over time as the science dictates things need to change for the better or the worse, whatever, upgrades or downgrades of the rules. Public safety is kind of a different thing. It involves human decisions relative to protection of human beings, risk analysis that doesn't necessarily apply to endangered salmonids. It correlates with things like the Growth Management Act and policy. And the real question, God only knows, adaptive management has enough to do with its 30-some-odd projects and all the different balls it has in the air at one time. And I'm just really questioning whether or not the board should give some, I'm asking the board to maybe give some thought to some kind of legislation that would remove the public safety from the adaptive management process and just have primary responsibility for this board on the public safety issue. It's really something that you don't need adaptive management for because we're not measuring biological things and measured policy responses to those. And I can sort of see this creating a lot of problems in the future, and so there should be a way to develop a screen for landslides that affect public safety and landslides that affect aquatic species, and maybe the latter remains on the same track, but the former should be have a different kind of track that stays here with this board. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Mark Eagle. We're at the point in the meeting where the board needs to review and then approve the calendar year 2016 work plan. This is important for a number of reasons. The board does provide guidance to all of those committees and the roundtable, which report to the board. Plus, by December 31st of each year, we also have to publish for the record when we're going to have meetings in the next calendar year. So that's where I'd like to start. The board in rule has identified their regular meeting dates as the second Tuesday in February, May, August, and November.
Excuse me, the second Wednesday. Mark,
yes.
We need Patricia to get this up on the screen.
I'd love to help. It's
your last meeting. Just make something up. Yeah, there's some. I'm afraid I'm goofed
it up. The reason I think we need it on the screen is we're going to amend your drafted, put in the work material.
I could, oh, you're asking for the work plan to be projected.
Yes. Yes, because we will probably change it based on today's actions.
Correct.
Correct.
If I may follow.
Excuse me, what do you need?
Please pull up the draft 2016 work plan. As that's coming up, though, and I error was promoting the way we have been meeting for the last several years, but the rule does hold that it's the second Wednesday in this month.
Excuse me. Patricia, we need the work plan. That's not the motion. Please.
I know that. Okay,
that's
something. I'm going to just.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So staff is recommending that the board go back to the traditional meeting days as called for in the rule, which would be February 10th, May 11th, August 10th, and November 9th. Those are in keeping with the rule identified regular meeting days for the board.
Identified meetings.
Yes, it is in rule. So, a brief discussion for the 2016 draft work plan. So, we do amend this, we have the opportunity to amend, or you have the opportunity to amend this at every regular meeting. Based on the conversations today under the board manual development, it would be mainly bringing back Board Manual Section 16 and putting that.
Could you come up, please?
So let's add a row under or between Section 7 and 21. And then we'll put section 16, and that's guidelines for, I'll just say guidelines for asbestos assaults.
So while she's doing that, Mark, if you don't, when the stuff that we're going to get feedback on at our next meeting as to what might go into adaptive management. We would then modify our work plan based on charges.
So with that, that's a very good segue. At the top of the work plan, it does say adaptive management program, and that's where we could add a row and where we could identify specific work that has been assigned to the adaptive management program. The board can also identify which meeting they would like to receive the recommendations from the program as a result of that review. What I'm going to do is that much of this list remains the same. I just would like to point out and the chair, I think, was...
So do we even want to go ahead and do that?
Would you want to put that on now?
Have Gretchen add the...
report back?
The proposal initiation.
So
potentially for the adaptive management program.
Right.
Stable Slopes.
So Gretchen, let's add another row to the adaptive management program.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter.
Yay, Gretchen!
What, and for the adaptive management program, let's add a row with a bullet and a statement of proposal initiation to review potential additions to unstable rules and guidance.
Unstable rules.
To review unstable slopes rules and guidance. That would be
February, and then at the February meeting, the board would amend that to the date at which you would like the adaptive management program to bring back recommendations. So let's go down to the board menu development. Actually, before that, rulemaking. It's kind of an odd order, but the rulemaking actually creates the need for board menu. So the very first rulemaking we've identified is the Northern Spotted Owl clarification rulemaking. This is not as a result of the Northern Spotted Owl implementation team. Instead, one of our regents has pointed out that there is a clerical error in how the Northern Spotted Owl rules are listed. So this is a staff correction of that error to correct it. I don't know all the details. The next one is the RMAP clarification. That is something that we had brought forward before, and the board had asked staff to do some homework on, which we are doing. We are working with landowners and discussing the need for clarification regarding those situations when a plan needs to be formed as a result of a catastrophic storm. This next year is a very significant year for RMAPs in that all the RMAPs are to be completed by October 31st of 2016, unless you ask for it, an extension. Many, many of the RMAPs will be completed by that time, but there is an ongoing obligation by landowners. Once you have your roads up to the new forest practices standards, you have to maintain them at those standards. And there's always the potential for some sort of a catastrophic event to create the situation where there is a lot of work that you may have to do. So we want it on the list. It's not a certainty, but it's something that we think staff is pursuing as a potential rulemaking next year. The same goes for the RMZ clarification. We had earlier stated that through the compliance monitoring program that there has been some confusion by some landowners on how to best locate their leaf trees in the outer zone And in addition to that, the rules are more prescriptive than they need to be in that we don't see the need that the rule that the trees are either clumped or evenly distributed within the outer zone, that there's actually the potential to do both at the same time. So that's why that is up there as a potential rulemaking. Now to go back to the board manuals, board manual section 7 would be guidance to the rule for the harmsy clarification. We don't have the arm out there. Section 21 in the board manual for alternate plan, that is there because the current small forest landowner requested template on which the board approved the proposal initiation and remanded it to the adaptive management program. The end result of a template would be an inclusion of that template in board manual section 21. And then board manual section 23 has been identified because that is the location of the guidance that would come to the board in the form of recommendations on the type M water rule, which would come out of the adaptive management program. Beyond that, I think that everything else on the work plan is a carryover of the items that we currently do. So I open this up to discussion by the board.
Board manual. Board members. God, I'm glad we're almost done.
Did you say there should be a board manual development related to the RMAP clarification?
No.
No, okay.
Well, I mean, there could be, but we do not see the
need at
this time.
This board, yeah.
Yeah, that's
right. I have a question. Did you say we're sticking to Wednesdays? The very beginning?
That's... Oh, and I forgot something about Board Manual 21, which I will bring forward. So, the rule, and I don't remember the chapter, but the board has a chapter of rules that pertain to the board and the board functions. In those rules, the board identified the days for the regular meetings throughout the year. And the rule holds that the regular meetings are on the second Wednesday, not the second Tuesday. So we have been doing it on Tuesday in order to accommodate board member Sumner's schedule. This next year we are proposing honoring the rule identified meeting dates, which are the second Wednesday.
Thank you. Sorry, I was just going to say the rule is 222.08.040.
See, I don't have them all memorized. Also, I forgot that during one of the amendments of Board Manual Section 21, again, which is the alternate planning manual, see, I'm doing it too, for small forest landowners, we inadvertently dropped a part of the manual that was developed to address imminent mortality in eastern Washington. There was a thought at one time that we'd make a template in the event of fire or disease, but it was found that there was such variability in eastern Washington that we were unable to make a template, but we were able to create a section to address imminent mortality, such as the aftermath of a fire or insects and disease, and would provide guidance to small forest landowners in the preparation of alternate plans to go in and salvage harvest in those situations. So we do want to bring that back. It is a part of the manual that had been created and fully vetted within the Small Forest Landowner Advisory Committee, and the board had approved that addition to the board manual. So this is a matter of bringing that back. And then I also have a note here that there's not, board manual section 16 is correct.
system. Any other questions?
So, any questions from board members Balish or Swedeen on the phone?
Not for me. Not for me either, thank you.
Anybody in the room? Okay, anything that we think is missing? Because this is basically what our work is going to be this next year, which we added to today.
Hi.
Yes.
Well, this may be for the chair here, as Mark. There's a lot of attention being paid to the fires, of course, we just had, and actions to prevent the same thing happening. Do you anticipate anything coming to Forest Practices Board related to that? I know we had the salvage logging stuff, but we have system, you know, our system deals with that, and it seems like we've got past some of that. But do you anticipate possibility of any work coming to us related to forest practices and fire prevention?
I don't, with the exception of bringing back the forest health guidance, which it is what you're proposing is to actually get it in the board manual, because it currently isn't.
Right, it was in the manual, and at some point we inadvertently eliminated that part. It was not intentional. We want to bring it back in its entirety, but it does require board reapproval of a part that had been developed a number of years ago.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the board? All right, now, can we have a motion, please? Can I have a motion, please? Board Member Davies.
I move the Forest Practices Board approve the 2016 proposed work plan as amended today.
Second?
I'll second it.
Board Member Little, and seconded the motion. Any discussion? Would everybody in favor of the motion please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Abstentions. Another unanimous vote. Well, thank you everybody today for your hard work. I would suggest we adjourn.
Yeah. Until then.